I mentioned this on Tuesday night at the prayer meeting, that we're just into the new year, and I've broken all my New Year's resolutions already, and they were the usual ones concerning chocolate and things like that, and they're all gone out the window. But, you know, in seriousness, when we come to the beginning of a new year, very often, and I believe this from speaking to people, very often Christian people will endeavour to really go all out for the Lord and do what they can, and that they will be looking for the Lord to open a door for them to do something or something new, and there will be that resolve in our hearts to seek to do what we can. As we read in the book of Joshua, it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so often that has been the thought in our mind at the beginning of a new year. But as the weeks go by, all the ordinary things are still there. And all the cares and the burdens and new burdens and sometimes things we didn't expect. And when all of these things come together, we can sometimes find that our resolve is not what it was on the 1st of January. And that's not a criticism. That's just a reminding all of us of a fact that we all know, that this can be the case. And therefore, that being the case, you and I can find it, even with a heart for God and for his work, we can find it difficult to have what we call motivation. Motivation is very important for believers in order that they would be able to fulfill the commission that the Lord has given all of us to do. You think of what has been already here today in this little building up in Ackley Village. People had to get up a little bit earlier and send their children along to Sabbath school. The youth had to come to the Bible class. Those who taught them had to prepare and to come along and teach them, and had them motivated to do all of that. And when your motivation goes, things can become so much more of a struggle. You know about Joshua. You know that he was a man who had been given great promises by the Lord regarding the Lord being with him, and no man been able to stand before him all the days of his life. And we know that he was a great leader. We mentioned, I think, the other night that he was a man, and we certainly would not want to criticize him, but we know that even during the situation with Achan and Ai, that Joshua failed, showing us that he was just like you and I. He was human. But Joshua, due to the very nature of his position, he really needed to be motivated, because he was to be a motivator of men. And the Lord now is taking a situation and turning it right around to the benefit of Joshua and those who were his comrades at that time. There's a verse over in Proverbs 13:22, and it says, "The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." Now that's unusual to read. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. We say it's unusual. Well, is it? Because it says in the Bible as well that God can make the wrath of man to praise him. So Christian, don't be too discouraged if you feel, well, yes, we're in the minority and everything seems to be going otherwise and not going in favor of God's word and of God's worship and of God's way. And we tend to get down about that, because the Lord can take a situation and turn it right around. In this passage it says there in verse 9, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you." That was a good day. Good day, it was good news. Because Joshua was a man who greatly needed motivation. And that is what I want to look at you, with at you just this morning for a while. Three motivating facts concerning Joshua. Three motivating facts. Now, if you look at the verses here, you will see that Joshua had an encounter with an individual. And we're going to be looking at that in just a minute. And I want to say, first of all, the first point is this: the inquiry that Joshua made. Joshua was a military person. And Joshua, being a military person, if you look there in verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him. His sword is drawn. He's ready for action. He's ready now to engage. Whoever this person is ready to engage. But nonetheless, Joshua goes right up to where he is. And he says to him there in verse 13, art thou for us or for our adversaries? There's no middle ground. Are you for us? Are you on our side? Or are you on the other side? And in fact, he's really asking this person for ID, showing the bravery that so often marked him. He's been absolute in what he is saying. And of course, today it is almost forbidden to speak in absolutes. But speaking absolutes, you must do so often. And he comes now. And he shows himself to be on one side. And he says, are you for us or for you for the other side? It says over there in 1 John, and I just read it for you. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now I believe with all my heart in the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. I believe that the Bible teaches us that he is the promised comforter that Christ spoke about before his ascension. But I also believe that he is our teacher. I believe that he works in and through his people, that is, his church. But I do not believe everything I hear. I go a little bit further and say, I do not believe everything that some may say, well, that's a work of the Spirit. Because the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And you young people that are just growing up now, you want to remember that as you grow older. Remember what we said. Try the spirit. More than that, God says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And there's that which is attributed to the work of the Spirit, which is not the work of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you how I know that. Because the Holy Spirit certainly works. And he works in accordance with the Word of God. And whenever there is a work that is done by the Holy Spirit, it is never in opposition to what the Bible teaches and the Bible way of doing things. No matter how sensational it may seem to be, don't you be taken in by it. Don't you be taken in by it. But as you come, and you will, as you come in your young life, and I'm not speaking just to youth here, but to everyone here, but as you come in your young life to situations where you've been told this has happened, or this is happening, or this feels good, why don't you come? There's a person I know who is definitely not a Free Presbyterian, but a Christian. When I say definitely not, I'm just saying that for emphasis. They have no difficulty with me or many all three Presbyterians that they do know. But and their son, just a young fella, he was invited away to something that was sensational. Everybody was on a high when they were coming out, and this was the place to be. And there was a great lesson in this for his parents, because they sent him along. And he came out after the meeting, and he said he was to stay there where he was and go back the next night. And he said, I want to go home now. And he says, I'll never go back to that. And he went home. And this is what challenged his parents. He says, I don't want to go back to that. He says, Whatever happened to singing and the preaching of the word? And he said, it's all sensation and all, it's all a got up thing. And young people, you're going to meet it more and more. It says over there in Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse 20. And this is very, very clear. In fact, I put a piece on this one time in the newspaper in Bridlington. If you know anything about Bridlington, some of you may have been there, and there is just so much falsehood all around the place. And I put a piece in, and this was the text that I preached on, or I had a little pressy of my sermon. It was, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, that is the Bible, it is because there is no light in them. That's what the Bible says. It is because there is no light in them. You see, the preaching of the word is to exalt Christ, to condemn sin, to challenge our hearts to live for him, but also to make sure, not only that we're on his side, but to make sure that we're very careful regarding who we associate with in worship. Because Joshua come along here and he said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Brothers and sisters, there's a great danger of drift today. Drift. And I've said to you many times in this pulpit, the Free Presbyterian Church does not have any monopoly. We're not that foolish to think that way. We're just a tiny part of God's work. But we're separated onto the gospel and separated onto Christ, and we seek to worship him in accordance with the teaching of his word. And of course, there are other people who are the same. But it seems that there is a huge drift, and I'm hearing it more and more from my colleagues as well. There's a huge drift towards that which is attributed to the work of the Holy Spirit, and yet so much of it doesn't tie in with the teaching of the word. Over there in 15, 1 Samuel 15, I'll read the first three verses quickly. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And then down in verse 9, it says there, and Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lamb, and all that was good. This was just typical Saul. He was told, and we've looked at this before, I know, some time ago. Saul was told what to do. To spare not, to utterly destroy, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And then there was the danger of all kinds of problems coming in. If you read down there from verse 12 on ahead, you have his usual spin, Saul's usual spin, and then Samuel confronts him in verse 14. If you've done what you were told, what meaneth the bleating of sheep in mine ears? You haven't obeyed. You haven't kept yourself separate from that which you're supposed to say separate from. You're supposed to destroy it, not save it. And it seems that in Samuel's dealings with Saul, that this was the kind of problem that he was coming against time and time again. Willingness to go a little bit of the way, but rather than obey, to do what appealed to the flesh. And that's what was happening here with Saul. It was so much easier just to keep all these nice things other than destroy them. And brethren, when we bring it over into spiritual matters in life, there's a clear line. Men and women in this country are either for Christ at the moment or not. Our job is to win them and to try to love them for the Lord. But that never happens by becoming all muddled and mixed up in that which is not to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Over there in Acts, the book of Acts in chapter 4 and verse 20, this was a good testimony concerning Peter and John. And they'd been released and warned not to speak about the Lord, not to witness. They said in verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And brethren and sisters, in all that we do, let's always be careful to weigh things. As I said there, to test the spirits. Let's weigh all things by the word of God. And how important it was, if Joshua was to be motivated here to press on in that which he was doing, how important it was that there would be this inquiry. Not just the taking of anything for granted regarding who this person was or anything, but the question there, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And all through your life, with all the decisions you'll have to make, big ones and wee ones, always ask this question. Would this be helpful for me? Would this really help me as a Christian? Or would it be detrimental to my progress as a Christian? Because while initially there may not be that which can be perceived as a big change, ultimately, if you embrace the wrong thing, then it will bring trouble. It will bring trouble and disappointment. So the first thing here regarding the three helps to motivate Joshua, there was the inquiry from Joshua. And please remember that. Always remember, there's that which is for Christ and that which is against him. We're not interested in middle ground. There is none. If you're saved today, that's great, whoever you are. But if you're not, we trust you will be. At the moment, you're not. So you're not on the side of Christ. And that's the way of the, that's the way it is in this world. One of the brethren prayed in the prayer meeting concerning the youth. And I know that there are many people here who have a heart for the youth. He prayed, "Lord, the world doesn't love them." Don't you think it does, young person? The world doesn't love you. But the inquiry from Joshua, but notice something else here. Notice the information imparted to Joshua. This was another source of motivation. In verse 14, it says there, "And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant?" This was what was called, folks, and I'm not trying to be complicated here, it's called a theophany. A theophany or a Christophany. It's an Old Testament, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes he's referred to by concerning the experience of Gideon and Jacob and Abram and so on as the angel of the Lord. Same person. And it's clear there that in verse 14 that Joshua worshipped him. So this was the Lord. And he realized now that the one who he was before here was the Lord. And if you look with me there, and I think it's important to turn to this just at this time, to 2 Kings, please. Second Kings and chapter 6. Verse 17. Perhaps you do or do not know much about the context here. It's regarding Elisha. It says, "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open my eyes, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." This is quite an unusual situation here regarding Elisha. All that human eyes were to see were the chariots of fire round about Elisha and the horses there. And that was, or this is teaching us, that God has a way of protecting his own people. And a way of protecting his own work. When Joshua looked out onto his horizon, Even in this chapter 5, there was great difficulty and trouble lay before him. And he needed to know something of the presence and blessing of the Lord. And he was to lead campaigns in the Lord's name. And he needed to be encouraged and he needed to be instructed. So the Lord now himself appears to him and says, we'll read it again, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Joshua fell on his face and to the earth and did worship. You see, in many ways, as far as Joshua was concerned, out ahead of him there was just armies and giants. That which was too much for him. It's not true for us sometimes too. You're looking out, maybe not too far into the future, even just a Monday. You're already thinking of a giant that's out there. Maybe it's a giant of despair regarding something in work. Someone you have to deal with. Maybe it's a giant of doubt that has come along your way and it's plaguing you. And what you desperately need is the sight of Christ and to get your eyes upon him and to realize, as far as you're concerned, that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. I learned that yesterday again in a very solemn way. Standing in Lawrence's, my brother Lawrence's hall in the kitchen yesterday, and people in the other wee room and all just singing. Just singing. In the midst of a very, very trying situation. Why? Because underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. And brethren and sisters, as there are giants and armies all before us, we see it all the time, and so much that would make you go into a corner. Our brother that prayed this morning, the world doesn't love you, he knows. Experience has taught him, as it's taught me, that while the Lord has given us many things to enjoy, we can have a very profitable and a useful life for the Lord. That system out there doesn't love you and your Christianity. In fact, it provides the giants. And it provides the armies that so often would seem to hold us back. And with the possibility of a huge campaign in this position, I haven't time to go into all the details this morning, but with the possibility here of a huge campaign facing Joshua, he needed encouraged and he needed instructed. And everybody here this morning, certainly every adult believer here this morning, you can think of things that are worrying you. And maybe they're before you and they're you need encouraged and you need instructed what to do. Well, here's the best encouragement of all. The Lord of hosts, as the Bible said, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That has never changed. That has never changed. Remember that. And just as there was to be, the sighting there as though there were chariots of fire and all about Elisha, the Lord is able to help you, to uphold you and protect you, to use you. Remember Abraham's experience over in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 in verse 1, it says, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Why would he need the Lord for a shield? Well, he was to go down in a very hard time and rescue Lot. You remember that. His nephew Lot. And the Lord said to him here, he has all the fears that are human, that are natural to you and I as human beings. And the Lord says to him, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and the exceeding great reward. And folks, whatever it is tomorrow, and maybe it's been troubling you over the weekend, this is what the Lord says to you. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I quote it so often, Psalm 28, and the psalmist there said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Then he reflects and he says, my heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. And he comes along and puts his arms about us just at the appropriate time. Over there in John's Gospel, it's chapter 10. Joshua really knew now that the one whom he asked the question to, are you for us or for our adversaries, that he was for him. What a motivator that was. John 10, and we're looking there in verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Shepherds are greatly known, all of those have been down through generations, for their love for the sheep. For how they put themselves and knock themselves about for the sheep. For how in old times, out in the east, when you had the sheep fold, it was like this, or circle like that, and a gap, and the gate, the entrance was there. Do you want to know what the gate was? The gate was the shepherd. The shepherd lay across the gap. And if any beast was to come in to harm the sheep, well, it had to go past him first. And very often, that is what the Lord was saying words here that people would have been able to identify with. He said, I am the good shepherd. And he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Of course, he's speaking about something much greater than the little furry animal that runs about. Speaking about you and me. He is the good shepherd. And he gives his life for the sheep. He's not a hireling. He loves you and I as a sheep. And we do well to remember that. Even when we're in situations like Joshua, and maybe you're not going to be confronting a great military campaign. You have challenges too. You have challenges out there too, and you know about it. Remember him. And the greatest information that Joshua could have received at that time was, I'm the Lord. And that's the greatest motivator that you and I can have. We feel that making progress, and I'm speaking here of Christians in general, the Christian church, making progress here in Northern Ireland, down in Southern Ireland, further afield, making progress together, it's important that there's an inquiry. Are you for us or against us? If there's just a little number, well, we'll go on our own. But if you're with us, we're happy to have you, but we don't want you. We don't want any mixture of religion. It's Christ alone in our gospel. We preach Christ crucified. The inquiry is so important in every area of life, and we mentioned that to the young people. But the information imparted to Joshua, what a blessing to know that this Monday you get up and go out. You're leaving the children to school and you're going to work, whatever you're doing. The Lord is with you. He's with them as well. So there's the inquiry he made, the information that was imparted to him, but the inspiration that he received. If you look with me there, please. And this is another helper in motivating him. It says in verse 14 that Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? He's ready to go. He's ready to go now. Recognition of Christ being there, unquestioning reverence, down on his face, the attitude of worship, falling before the Lord. But he's inspired now to follow the Lord's leading. He says there, at the end of verse 14, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And it's amazing here, maybe Joshua thought the Lord was going to say right away, I want you to do this. Here's how you're going to go about that. Or maybe say, well, here's the strategy. You follow that and you'll do well. No, the Lord didn't say that. The Lord said to him there, he says, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Big lesson there for me and for all of us. Obedience is very important, but holiness comes first. Joshua was going to be obedient. But the Lord was saying to him, here, listen, Joshua, this is holy. Don't forget about holiness. This is holiness. This is holy ground. That's what he said to him. And it says there at the end of that verse, and Joshua did so. Joshua is well motivated now. Maybe you've been down through the week, discouraged and maybe disillusioned and disappointed and wondering and all of those things. I don't know all of your problems and difficulties, but I know that in life there's trouble. Trouble. We need motivation continually to follow after the Lord. And here's three motivating factors that really helped Joshua. The inquiry was so important. He was boldly going and saying, are you for us or for our adversaries? Determine, brothers and sisters and young people, you'll go on with God. You'll be on his side. Not being drifting away to sensationalism or anything like that. Then there was the information imparted to him. The Lord was saying, listen, Joshua, I'm here with you. That's he sent to you. And then there was the inspiration. He was down on his face before the Lord. Made sure he took his shoes off in obedience to the Lord, reminding us, search our hearts out. Holiness before obedience and holiness before service. And so the work of the Church of Christ is, well, it is a campaign. It's one continuous campaign to try to win men and women to the Lord, to try to bring glory to the Lord's name, to challenge sin, to commit our way every day to him. Three helps, three motivating helps for you now that we're into 2019. And I trust that all of us in the coming days will be like Joshua. We'll be, make sure we have that discernment, and we're not going to just be drawn along with every wind of doctrine, but are you for us or against us? You know, we're on the Lord's side. We have a work to do. The Bible shows us how to do it. The Holy Spirit works in accordance with his word. There's no such thing as immediate revelation. And God has suddenly given me something new that's not in his word. We've got the completed canon of scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Make the inquiry. Seek for the information. And know that the Lord is with us. And you ought to know that, and so ought I. He's a very present help with his people, not just in time of trouble, but all the time. And then be inspired to go on. You're going against the flow. That's why it's difficult sometimes. You're going against the flow. But let's be motivated for the Lord and be up and doing for him in these days when he's given us so much opportunity, so many open doors, and a time in our life when we can do the very best that we can for him. We trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to your hearts this morning. Could we turn